I'm Tabby.
And I'm Caitlin, and today we are discussing Two Twisted Crowns by Rachel Gillig, which is the second book in the Shepherd King duology. So good.
What a treat they've been.
They have been.
Truly.
I feel like this, if I had been in a reading slump, which I actually was not, sometimes I am, I think this would have brought me right out of it.
Yeah. It was just perfect. They weren't like absurdly long. It was just two books, which is great.
Yeah, she's not trying to get that cash grab.
cash grab.
No, I think that is a point that I was definitely going to make about this book at some point today, because at times the book did feel a little bit rushed to me. And I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but like at times I felt that way. But then I remembered the alternative would be her writing more books. And I was like, I don't want that. No, I think this was actually perfect.
Yeah.
And the pacing was fast enough that it kept things interesting. And I think it was good to just do two.
Yeah. For the most part, she wrapped it up very beautifully.
I will talk about this book and how it's received on Goodreads. It has 282,872
Wow.
ratings.
Oh my God.
With 4.42 stars. So
Which is very good.
very good. The back of the book says, Elspeth and Raven have gathered most of the 12 Providence cards, but the last and most important one remains to be found, the Twin Alders. If they are going to find it before the solstice and cure the kingdom of the dark magic infecting it, they will need to journey beyond the dangerous mist-cloaked forest that surrounds their kingdom. And the only one who can lead them there is the monster that shares Elspeth's head. The nightmare, and he's not eager to share any longer. With the back of the book in the first book, it like gave
Yeah.
a lot away, and this one does the exact opposite.
It was short and sweet. Yeah, that first one, I didn't even really need to read the book because it told me exactly what happened.
Yeah, and this one, she's like, no, we're gonna keep the mystery
And
alive.
I love that.
I
She
love
learned
that
from her
too.
mistakes.
Yeah, very good. What would you rate this book?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked.
Of course, of course.
Same as last time, also, like I would have given it a 10 out of 10 too. There were just very minute things that I would have like complained about, but they weren't even really complaints. They were more just observations. I loved that the focus from Raven and Elspeth kind of transitioned more to Elm and Ione. I thought that was really cool because I mean, we talked about it last time. Like we were very, very intrigued by both of their characters. So I did like the multiple points of view in this
Me
one.
too. I liked it too. And I would also rate it a 10 out of 10. It's
Yeah.
another win for me. I felt genuinely so attached to all of these characters, and I just felt like we were all on an adventure together. Like I was there. I was there in the
Yeah.
woods with
Yeah,
them
you didn't
and
see
also
me.
in the castle.
I tripped and fell in the bush, but I was there.
Yeah, I definitely tripped and fell. And then when I was in the castle, I maybe was perhaps using the mirror card because you could not see me, but I was there.
I was also
And
shackled in the dungeon. I
yes,
wasn't the
I was everywhere. Okay, I'm omnipresent and I just had fun on our adventure. And speaking
Thanks.
of all the characters, let's talk about them because I love
Okay.
them.
Okay, so first of all, I like that you bundled the Nightmare and Elspeth together because they were one and the same. It
Yes,
was
the monster they
the
became.
monster they became, as absolutely. I love them.
Same.
I love them together. I loved them together last time, but
Yeah.
I think their relationship in this book was a little more wholesome.
Yes.
Like just her waking up and being like floating and peaceful, and like he was giving her a chance to heal and to rest and to like really just figure out what was going on for the time being. After a while, she didn't want out, she wanted to leave, but
Yes. He was very protective of her because of how he regretted
yeah.
his decisions as a father in life and how he didn't protect his children in life. Elspeth was kind of a second chance for him, and he cared for her very deeply. And their relationship just, ooh, like,
It's
yes,
cute.
it was very cute, and it also was very, like, touching, like, deeply touching. But like ultimately their dynamic duo energy of like their bantering was fun. And because Elspeth was really going through it this book, like when she woke up and she was confused, she didn't have her memories yet, and she just was like scared and alone, and he was there to comfort her and like, you know, help her remember what happened. Whenever she was like lost in like the little ocean of memories and he couldn't find her for a while, and she finally popped back up and he like hugged her, and oh my God,
Was
like
so sweet.
that got to me. And that's when I knew, I was like, okay, this goes beyond, like
Well,
he is feeling guilt over something, and that
yes.
guilt is that he was a shit dad.
Yeah, it's like I lost all my kids. Like, I'm not going to lose you too.
Yeah, dude.
Because she is like a daughter to him.
I know. And she just was his redemption.
Now that being said,
Yeah, no, because let's talk about what he needed to be redeemed
yeah,
from.
he was a shitty person.
Yes. So Taxus is, as we learn, Taxus is the name of the Shepherd King when he lived, and he was making some pretty whack sacrifices to get those Providence cards. And ultimately, to get the Twin Altars card, he straight up sacrifices his sister, who he loved dearly. But like, he just wasn't feeling
He
love
couldn't
anymore. He didn't have
feel,
his
yeah.
soul. Like, he was making some horrible, horrible decisions. And it kind of had me siding with Brutus Rowan a little bit. I
Yeah.
will say, obviously, he took it too far. Like, I'm not defending his
But I
behavior.
get it.
Yeah, but I get it. Like, he was warning Taxus over and over again about what this was doing to him, how it was changing him. And so was Eris. And that's Brutus's wife, Taxus's sister. And they both were like, "You've changed. You're not there for your children. You're not there for us anymore."
Yeah.
And he just was not
It
listening.
just wasn't enough for him.
And whenever he sacrificed Eris, Brutus snapped. He
Which
snapped.
I think I would have too. Like I do think he was justified in that. Now the children were innocent.
The
They were
children were innocent.
innocent, and honestly, his wife was innocent, and like they should have been left alone. That was not their choice.
Yeah.
But
I am pretty sure at this point, Taxus's wife had already
Or she'd already
died.
died. She'd already
Yeah.
died. Yes.
But
The
for
children,
sure.
though.
Yeah.
Yes.
He
I
did take
forgot
it
she had
way
already
too far.
passed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he used her bones, right? For
Yeah.
one of
He
the
used her
cards.
bones
Yeah.
as one of the sacrifices. I
That's
think for the
right.
maiden. Was it the maiden? I can't remember.
Remember.
Anyway, Brutus, I get it. We'll talk more about you later. But like, ultimately, this entire book was one big character arc for the nightmare and helping us to understand the monster he became and working toward redemption for him. And I thought it was a very emotional and touching
Yeah,
story.
it was. It did bring up a lot of complex feelings for this person.
For sure.
I did love what we got from Raven. I did obviously I missed him and Elspeth like together in person, but
Yes.
I did love his relationship. And like how it built with the nightmare.
Their blooming friendship was very important to me.
Yeah.
But then every time, like, the nightmare had to do something dangerous or like cut Elspeth's hand to like give blood, and Raven would like stop him for a second and be like, "Not too deep. Like, I don't want her to have scars." Oh my God.
He loves her so much.
Loves her so
He
much.
loves her so much. And I do think the nightmare obviously didn't want to hurt her either. And like he knows that Raven loves her so much too. And it
Yes.
sickens him, but in a good way.
Yes. And oh, and that's the thing too, is like, I loved that dynamic between the nightmare and Raven, because both of them care for Elspeth like deeply. And I almost felt like it was kind of one of those things where the nightmare was like being an overprotective
Yeah.
father and was kind of like be gone, boy. But at the same time, like, he knows, like, obviously he cares for Raven too. Like, that's his
Yeah.
descendant. And he knows how deeply Elspeth cared for Raven. So, like, he was never gonna let anything happen to either of them.
Against Raven's best attempts, like my God, like he.
was stressing me the fuck out the amount of times he almost died. No, be careful.
Just constantly on the brink of death.
And like very self-sacrificing. And it's
Well,
like,
and
you're kind of important here. If you could just stop trying to kill yourself for one second.
I did like his struggle too throughout the book, though, like between like who he is and like him trying to figure that out while also trying to rescue Elspeth. Like he's like, am I a Destrier? Am I a highwayman? Am I just Raven? Like who am I? And
Because
so we
he
got to
also
go.
was going through it.
Yes. We got to go on a little soul journey with him.
Yes. And ultimately, he really did find out who he was,
Yeah.
and who he was descended from.
That was exciting.
Ione.
Wow, what a queen. I literally love her.
Yeah.
What a turnaround, honestly. Like, I knew I was going to like her, but like, I did not expect to like her that much.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised because she
Yeah.
had kind of, piqued my interest in book one, but I was not fully on board with her whole vibe. And then book two, she just blew all my
Oh my
expectations out of the
God.
water.
She is a trooper.
Yeah, speaking of people who've been through it, she really went through a lot. And at the point when she was finally, she got her maiden card back and she was like stopping using it and let Elm see. Well, no, actually, she let Elm see into her mind before she stopped using it, I believe. And she was showing Elm that Hoth had actually attempted to murder her, and that's how she found out the maiden card has healing properties. I don't know why I was so shocked, but I was shocked that Hoth did that.
Because he's an asshole, but I didn't think he was like a straight up murder. Like, I,
Yeah.
okay. Well, I
I
knew
didn't
he
think
was a
he was that
murderer.
evil, I think is the thing. I
I
mean,
just didn't
like,
think he'd
I
do
knew
that
he
to
was a,
her.
yeah, I knew he was a bad person. Don't get it twisted. But, like, I didn't think he was gonna be, like, so irredeemable.
Yeah. Like, in every sense of the word, he is a villain.
Yeah. There's not a single quality about him that gives me any inkling to sympathize with him.
No. And you know what? Against like all the odds stacked against her, I do love that she tried to constantly like push through like the maiden's hold on her. And like
Yes.
she managed to have like some flickers of emotion. And like that's what gave Elm like so much hope. And it just added like so much layering to her character.
Yes, I think it's such a testament to like who she was. Like, obviously, there's a huge contrast between pre maiden card and post
Yeah.
maiden card Ione. And it's such a testament to like how deeply she felt things at baseline that she is able to feel anything with the
Yeah.
maiden card activated. Like, that was such a cool addition to her
Yes.
character.
I also just really loved Elm's character in this book. We talked about him a lot in book one. We just didn't get to see his greatness in book one. You got to see like the very traumatized and like jaded individual that he is, but we didn't know Elm. And so I am really glad we got to dive a little bit deeper into his character and like see that he's not like a complete asshole. Like he is for the most part, but like he does love his family so much.
Yes. And I also love that since we got insight into his mind, like we got to see that he did regret the way that he treated Elspeth and how he handled things.
Yeah.
Like he was remorseful, and especially whenever he really began to understand what it was like to start to like fall in love with someone, he
Yeah.
was like, "Oh man, like I was a real prick, wasn't I?" So that growth for him was really cool. And I mean, he's young. Like he's a young man. He's 22.
Yeah.
And he had so much happen to him in his life, and he just needed time and maturity and like healing.
And you know what I did love in this book is how much of a supporter Taxus was of him. Like Taxus really saw like the greatness in Elm and the potential that he held. And I love that he kind of masterminded him like getting his way onto the throne because he's like he's the only one who is worthy of that.
Yes. And I like to think that's how Brutus would have stayed if
Yeah.
he hadn't lost the love of his life back in the day.
I do think what he saw in Elm is what he had seen in Brutus prior to him creating the Providence cards.
Yeah, that's so true. Damn. That
It's
kind of
sad.
hurts a little bit,
It is really sad.
but it's like this story is about righting old wrongs,
Yeah.
and so those wrongs had to happen, and that's just the way it went.
And it
And
turned out
now
fine.
it's all good. Jesper, this book, I loved her. She was perfect. She is so
Yeah.
cool,
She's
and
very cool.
she's a hero. Like, I know Raven also would have made that sacrifice to the spirit of the wood if he could have, but like just the fact that she was like, "No, I'm doing it for Emery. Like, I'm doing it for my family." I think Jesper is such an underrated character. I wish we got more of her.
Oh, she got her happily ever after.
I did kind of pick up on some vibes between her and Peter.
Yes, they were
Like,
flirting.
they're
They were
definitely
flirting.
flirting. I don't know if that is ever going to be anything for their story, but I kind of hope it is because they also
Yeah.
trauma bonded.
In my head, they did get married.
Yeah. Let's just pretend
Yeah.
they get their happily ever after as
For
well.
sure.
Speaking of Peter, felt awful for him.
Yeah, dude, like he actually do every single character did go through it. Like not a single one came out unscathed, but I cannot even begin to imagine like you getting your life saved only for your brother to immediately die.
Like, immediately, like, you're not
Immediately
even.
died.
I was so shocked when it happened because, like, there was such a huge to do when Peter was dying, and they were like giving the maiden card. Oh my God, they learn, oh, the maiden card heals people. This is great. Nobody's gonna die on this journey. And then Wick gets killed instantly, an arrow to the head.
Yeah.
Oh
Hello?
my God. Yeah. Like, thanks for that,
Nobody's safe
Rachel.
in this book. Nobody's safe.
That really hurt my feelings.
It did. Because Wick didn't deserve that.
No, I loved Wick and Peter, and
Like,
we didn't
they
even
were.
know them that well, but they were just
No.
so lovable.
They were just there to help. They were helping out
Yeah.
some friends, and he
Yeah.
died.
God, and it was this twin too. Like, I
Ah, but
know
they had such
losing
a
a sibling
bond.
is one thing, but losing a twin?
Like you are connected in a way nobody would ever understand.
Oh, I can't even
That's
begin
sick.
to imagine. Speaking of
Sick.
sick, let's talk about
He's a little sick freak.
Hoth. Sick little freak. And he's a cockroach. I knew he was going to get healed with the maiden card somehow because, like, why wouldn't he when we've made it clear? Like, he's still alive. She would have killed him off if he wasn't going to get better. But it still really
It
freaking
pissed me
sucked
off.
when it happened. Yes, I was so mad. But it was such poetic justice when my precious little babies, Elm and Ione, got to just drive a blade through his chest together.
But what I think is so funny, and it just shows that, like, again, you can't trust anybody, especially not Hoth, is that his father was doing everything in his power to make sure this man was healed so that
Yeah.
his first choice heir would make it onto the throne, and when he finally does, he kills his dad.
Yep, grateful, very grateful. And I think, like, the king immediately, as it was happening, was
He's
like,
like,
oh,
fuck.
fuck, because he handed Elm his scythe card in a last-ditch effort of, like, good luck. Like, I hope he doesn't kill you, too.
Yeah, fucked
That's
up.
wild.
It was wild, but I expected nothing less, but I was like, that was a
Yeah.
big power move, first of all, but holy shit, what is wrong with
Was
you?
making money moves.
He
In some ways,
was.
I did feel bad for the king, but, like, for the most part, I
He did
also
it to
hated
himself.
him. Yeah.
Because he was a hateful man.
Yeah, and, like, he had every opportunity to stop being a piece of shit, and he did
Yeah.
not. So, like,
Yeah.
I don't really forgive him.
I mean, it does suck that his kid killed him. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't have raised a little
Whatever.
freaking serial killer.
Feel like, I mean, he was fine. I did like him. He's not evil.
Yeah,
Surprise.
surprise, he didn't betray anyone. Actually,
He's
he's a
not
little
evil.
sweet pea.
He is.
He visited Elm when Elm was locked in the dungeon by Hoth and was like keeping him sane and was like, Raven's coming for you. Just hang in there.
He is once again just the character that just he needed to add a little bit to the story, and he did that, and then he left, and we didn't see him ever again, and that was okay.
Yeah. And he was the one to interrupt Elm and Ione the first time they were
Yeah.
gonna bang. And
Love that.
I love that. That was so funny. Eric, okay. Eric Spindle, I do forgive him. However, I feel like his redemption arc like wasn't that great. I do forgive him because he, well, I forgave him in the first book, to be honest,
Yeah.
whenever he went to Elspeth and like gave her the card that she needed. But it made you sympathize with him a lot more whenever you learned that Elspeth's mother actually died from hiding her infection from him and she degenerated. And he was like, then faced with his daughter becoming infected too. Like, I understand why he
Yeah.
panicked, you know?
Because, like, he loved that woman more than life itself. And that was the only extension he had. I still, like, just grieve their marriage.
They're, oh, I know.
Like,
They
they
love each
have
other
such a
so deeply.
traumatic love story. But I do like him. I do think Eric in the end did the right thing, and hopefully he can live with himself for it.
Yeah. And I'm sure that he and Elspeth will have a much better
Yeah,
relationship from
I'm
here
sure they
on out.
reconciled.
Tiern stayed embarrassing, hated
Ugh.
him, and Opal actually stayed cool as fuck.
Yeah. You know what? Like, she is a roll with the punches type of gal. She's like, come on, kids. We're going into the forest and we're gonna live with this cult.
We're gonna
And
live with this cult. They'll probably take care of us, and they did.
they did.
That was honestly such a pleasant surprise.
She's just chilling with the absolute crazies.
Yeah, and again, I understand why they're crazy. They've been radicalized. Speaking of them, Otho and Hesus are
They're
like
so
the
scary.
leaders. They are very scary, and they do not pull their punches. Like, they are there to draw blood and
Yeah.
get revenge, and that's it. The gladiator shit with like the drugs that made them evil, that was fucking sick and twisted.
Yeah.
Wild.
And also so random.
So random. Okay. I do think like their characters are so cool. Like, it was a really neat addition, but it almost felt like it was like unnecessary, and I think it would have been better if maybe they had like helped in the final battle and like brought
Yeah.
them back at the end.
It was just weird with like how quickly the storyline was progressing. Like for her to like throw that random tidbit in there, you're like,
Yeah.
okay.
Because it didn't really
And
add anything except telling us that Opal and the kids
yeah.
were safe. That was one, but like we could have found that out at the end.
But also like they did need to be some like evil bone witches, like, you know, like it could have just been someone that lived in the woods.
And I think maybe she just was trying to expand that lore of like the people who do get infected, this is where they're going, like
Yeah.
because they're banned from the kingdom. But still, it did feel like it could have been trimmed out and we still would have had the same story. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
for sure. But it wasn't bad. It was good.
Yeah.
The Shepherd King's family.
Oh.
Okay, so when we very first meet Tilly, like it made me cry,
Yeah.
like to think about her sitting in the tree and just waiting for him to return back to them. And like when she was like, I don't know what happened because I was the first one to go, I was like, oh,
Yeah,
they
that
killed
shit
this
hurted.
poor, sweet child.
Yeah, because she had the gift to heal them, so they had to kill
I
her first.
know.
I mean, it is just
It's
devastating.
sick.
And I just know that when the nightmare first met Elspeth, like that had to have devastated him because Elspeth was around the same age as Tilly whenever she absorbed his soul. And like they just had some similarities, like they both had dark hair, and that had to have been like really upsetting for him.
Yeah.
Because he had 500 years to ruminate on the fact that
Yeah.
he was a shit dad and failed his
Yeah.
kids at that point.
He did. He messed up. And like we already talked about Eris a little bit, but I mean, just what a beautiful character.
I loved
And
her.
like she was just great and so supportive. Like even through like his mistakes and everything, she wanted to be there for her brother and make sure she could guide him as much as she could, even down to the bitter end when it cost her own life.
Yeah. When she asked him how it felt to wear the crown and he
Ugh.
said, like, providence, I was like,
Did you get like goosebumps?
yes,
I
that's one of
did.
those things where I read that and I was like, okay, she's an author, you know, like,
She is.
she knows what
This is
she's
a
doing.
craft.
It's a craft and she's honed it. Yeah, like everything about the Shepherd King's family was like sad because you know that the relationship with his sister, like that old wound got brought up whenever he saw Raven and Jesper interacting. And then, like, of course, the fact that Bennett also looks identical to Raven and Tilly
Yeah.
looked like Elspeth and like he even had twin boys and then like Peter and Wick were twins, like
Just everything
everything.
reminded him.
And yeah, like it's so sad to think about what he went through, but obviously like he did make his own grave,
Yeah.
and he had to do a lot to right the wrongs that were his fault.
Yeah, he paid his penance.
He sure did.
And then the last character I want to talk about is just the spirit of the wood, because I don't even know how to describe her, because she isn't good and she's not evil. However, I do think she did lean closer to the cruel side than,
Yeah, but I think she
like,
was bitter.
yes. Which, yeah, she was wronged because he was supposed to build all of these things and she gave him all of these cards as a way to, like, secure, like, supporters and, like, people who were going to worship her, and it backfired.
Yeah. And so then she had to take people against their will. Like, she probably didn't want to do that. But,
No.
like, again, it's all about balance. She also is just like a little bit scary. And I love
Yeah, she's
that.
so scary.
Like, she, when she just casually ripped herself open to bleed into the water profusely so that she could, like, grab the Twin Elders card, that was great. I
That
like
was
that.
pretty metal.
That was metal as fuck. And I did want to dive into her interaction with Raven because when I was first reading this part, I was a little bit confused about what she wanted, like what her motivations were, because it's not super clear. Like you said, she's not good, she's not evil. And she even brings that up, like from the first book. She's like, do you remember what you told Elspeth about me? You said that I am just trying to like restore balance. Actually, let me pull it up. The spirit brings up to Raven that he said to Elspeth, magic sways like salt water on a tide. I believe the spirit is the moon commanding the tide. She pulls us in, but also sets us free. She is neither good nor evil. She is magic, balance, eternal. And so she's like trying to really, that is her motivation. Like she's just balanced, she's just
Yeah.
keeping things in order. So I was kind of wondering, like, why did she try to make these two bargains with him and then like settle on a riddle to give him the card? And I realized it's because it was a test to see if he is wary, clever, and good. So the first bargain that she offers him is to leave the card. And she said, I'll save the people you love. Your siblings shall be free of the infection. Elspeth Spindle will be released from the Shepherd King, body and mind, and the Rowan Prince shall be saved from his almost certain ruinous fate. Raven said, what fate should Elm need saving from? The spirit did nothing but watch him. He said, I should know what I'm agreeing to. Silence was her only reply. So she was
Well,
testing to see if he's wary.
because that could have also meant Hoth or Elm, because both of them were facing ruinous fates at the time.
That's true as well. So she's like, okay, so he's wary. That's one. The next is, okay, so she brought up the fact that he had like defended her to Elspeth, that part I already talked about. And she said, so Raven, you, my second offer to you is the throne. When Raven did not speak, a snarl touched the edge of her voice. She said, you have the makings of a great king, measured, careful, wary of balance. You need not go back to stone and bow before your uncle. No more lying or stealing or pretending. Find your own virtue and keep your own rules. Leave the Twin Alders card with me, and I shall make you Blunder's king. He said, no. And she said, you're determined to overlook my generosity and take back the Twin Alders card. He said, I have no ambition for the throne. And she said, perhaps you should. So that was probably the test to see if he was good and altruistic. And then, of course, the final thing is she asks Raven to tell her his name, his true name. And then that's ultimately the test to figure out if he's clever. So her whole thing is she's not picking sides. She's really not. I don't think she gives a fuck. Like, she's just not picking sides. She's just trying to restore the balance in the universe.
Yeah.
And
Well,
to do that, they need to be wary, clever, and good.
I'm also wondering if, like, when she asked that, like, you can tell me your name, it's because she knows he struggles with his own identity as well, and like the masks that he wears. And so I'm wondering too if that last test is for him to like balance himself as well and figure out like what he is so that he's worthy of the Twin Alders.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the whole thing is just a test to see if he's worthy and also if he's going to be able to even restore the balance. If she gives him this card, is he going to fix things? Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's a very intricate character.
She is. She's so cool. I really like her. So obviously there are some more side characters throughout this book. There are a lot to keep things going, but that's pretty much the main focus. So we'll talk about our general thoughts and concerns, starting with the things that we liked about this book.
Okay, once again, I love the riddles and I love, giving us more insight to the Providence cards, and I just think they're all very fun.
Yeah, everything about this book is so like whimsical. Like I just love how the riddles, like some of the riddles stay the same throughout and then you finally learn what they mean, but some of them like change a little bit and it's just such a cool through line in the series. We also learned that the nightmare was in fact not present for Elspeth and Raven, their lovemaking in book one. So thank trees for that. He just hid on his little island to
Yeah,
have a
because
little
man,
piña colada.
I was concerned. I was
Especially because
concerned.
that looks like his son. That man looks like his son.
Yeah, and that is Elspeth is essentially his child.
Yeah, he would be watching his children
It's fucked up.
fucking. Yeah, but he didn't, and it's
But
fine.
he didn't. He's not a pervert.
Oh
I did just, I love the sassiness.
my God, so funny the whole time. Oh, like every time he would like talk to Raven to like bother him a little bit and be like, Elspeth said this. And Raven was always like, no, she did not. Because it would be something like, Elspeth said she doesn't think you find her pretty anymore. Elspeth said you need to quit being stupid. And like, and then
He's
he
like,
was
no,
like,
she didn't.
yes, it was just so funny. And then at the end, though, it was so sweet because like it took a turn, it took an emotional turn. Like I said, he was using it as a way to like tease him the entire time. And at the end, whenever he is like close to death and the nightmare is trying to just like keep him here, keep him in good spirits, he said, Elspeth says she's utterly sick of you. His voice was weak. She didn't say that. And I just was like, oh my God.
He's
And
like,
then
anything to get you to stay with us.
anything for my boy. And then he was always dogging on Raven for his big ass nose, even though that motherfucker inherited directly from Taxus. He's like, your nose is so big, you little bird beak freak. And it's like, literally, you're
You.
my ancestor.
It's like, yeah, every time like Elspeth sees him, it like she describes him as having the exact same nose, and you're like,
And as someone with a big nose, as someone in the big bird beak nose club, I just think it's funny that he was like dogging on Raven when he's also got a big honker. And speaking of big noses, everyone should look up the fan art of Raven
So
because the
good.
artist did deliver on the nose front, and it's a very handsome nose. It's giving Adam Driver.
Listen, I love a good big nose.
Yeah, we all do. You're lying if you say you
Yeah.
don't.
Just, admit the truth to yourself and go look at it.
Yeah, it's good.
So, honestly, all of the banter in this book was really good. Like, I think every character was great at that, including Elm and Ione. Theirs was so fiery. And, like, I
Yes.
loved how different it was from Raven and Elspeth, because they're haters. They're just
Yes.
to the bone, they're haters,
They're
and
bitter, you
they
know?
are, but they have found love with each other,
They
and
have.
it just fueled my little heart. I loved it.
Elm would, if Elm was alive in 2025, he would wear that t-shirt that's like, "Don't bully me, I'll come."
Yeah, no, that was him.
Yeah, that was the vibes.
He loved it when Ione was mean to him.
Oh yeah, and I loved it too. I loved it for
I
him.
think she liked doing it.
Oh, absolutely. Whenever he was like, then mess with me, like use me, and she was like, okay, like.
I
Whoa.
was also like,
Shit.
okay. I'm blushing.
Yeah, that was good. The other thing that I loved about this book was the actual like more emotional and touching moments, like the ending. The nightmare departing from Elspeth's mind actually left me in tatters. And yeah, we'll talk more in our discussion questions about how that made
It
us feel.
is sickening. It
It
was so
is.
sad. It was. Okay, there weren't very many things that we really didn't like. It did move quickly, and I don't know, like there was some like disjointment spots, like where it would switch over very quickly when you're getting very involved and like deeply connected with one part of the story, and then all of a sudden you'd
Yes.
switch over. Didn't love that. I also do feel like, not that it could have been shorter, it just like we could have focused on other things.
Yeah, I think we could have trimmed a couple things, like we said, like the weird like cult thing for
Yeah.
one. Also, like I think I do get like taken out of it whenever that happens, but I also do recognize that that is a popular like storytelling method.
Yes.
Like I think of like Game of Thrones or Throne of Glass. They
Sure.
have kind of a similar
Yeah.
like something crazy is about to happen. Oh, well, we're going somewhere else for right now. You remember these people? Here we are. Like it takes me out of it a little.
I think I just wish that instead of us getting some of those random tidbits, like we got more of like our main storyline, like with Fenrir and Moret and Emery, and it's like the whole thing was for Emery. Like that is
Yeah.
why they started this. They was to find a cure for him, and like I feel like he was just kind of left out in
I
this
know.
book.
I agree.
So I wish maybe we'd even gotten like a chapter just about him.
I agree. And even if it was like at the end, like,
Yeah.
because he was like present in the epilogue, obviously, because he lived, but I wanted more focus on him. I
Yeah.
truly agree. The only other thing that I have a bone to pick with is actually the audiobook. So this book, I often do this, but I do like a combination most of the time of listening to the book whenever I'm driving to work and then like actually reading it when I'm home. So I did listen to part of it, and it was just a one female narrator, and some of the male voices were not it. Specifically, Elm's voice was like the biggest offender. Like it sounded kind of like nasally it was just taking me out of it. Like it was not flirty.
Which, you know what, now that I think of it, they did that for Throne of Glass too. It was just one female
Yes, it
narrator for
was.
every single book.
But I don't remember her voices bothering me
No,
as much.
she was good, but I just don't know why, and I'm sure it's for like budget reasons people don't do
Yeah.
this, but if you're gonna have a multi point of view, like I think the investment is worth it to get a male narrator to narrate the male parts. I think it just makes it more cohesive and it's not so jarring.
Yeah, I definitely prefer it. Like of all the audiobooks I've listened to, my favorites are always going to be the ones with
Yeah.
more than one narrator. Like you don't think about it being important until you're listening to it and
It's
you're
it
like,
is important
"Oh,
though.
that's very important." So, yeah, very minimal list of things. So some symbolism we didn't really talk about with the first book that I just wanted to touch on briefly is the fact that Ione is described as yellow, like whenever she is her carefree version of herself. Like she's got yellow hair, she's very much a sunshiny presence, reminds
Yeah.
everyone of like warmth and happiness. And that really kept Elm going. And it was very important. And at their wedding, like there was a bunch of yellow, and I thought that was very sweet. And then, like, with the nightmare being like, oh, yellow girl, and then eventually talks about her being like the golden queen. Like, it's kind of like, yeah, a variation of yellow, but like a more refined and polished version.
Yeah, and gold is hard, like it's a harder form of yellow. So whenever she wore like the maiden card, like it hardened like her heart. And so that's when he'd like refer to her as golden.
Yeah, so cool. Another thing is like how, because that was so important to Elm, is that Ione was yellow and that's what he focused on. And he would often talk about like the contrast. He would say like there was no like Rowan red, only yellow. Like he was being like rescued by her essentially, because whenever he was at Stone, like the only thing he could remember is how miserable he was and his horrible past of abuse there, and like all the times that Hoth would use violence against him. And that's very much red. Like he was hurt, he was angry, and Ione was like saving him from that. And then the other thing that we didn't really talk about in the first book is just like the eye colors in this book, but it's kind of a similar thing. Like it's all color based, but like Elspeth has black eyes, and then that's kind of like, she even said that her aunt used to say they're like the window to the soul. Like other people are like reflected in her eyes. The nightmare actually has yellow eyes as well, which is, it kind of brings up how yellow can also symbolize more like caution in a way. And I mean, I think there's a lot that probably like the author was just picking colors sometimes, but just the things that it makes us think of can sometimes like add to the story. Raven had like gray eyes. He was very like stoic and like stormy as a person.
Well, and I think gray is used there too because gray is like an in-between color, and he was very in between like who he was, and like
Identity
it, he
wise.
couldn't, his eyes couldn't quite decide like what color they wanted to be.
That's so true as well. Yeah. And also, like, gray is a color that kind of is like blending in to shadows. Like, he was very much just going wherever he needed to go to survive. The Rowans actually have green eyes, which is interesting. I think because, like, we think of the Rowans as being like more brutal. That might not make a whole lot of sense, but whenever you think about Elm, he also has the green eyes. It's kind of like growth and like new beginnings, and like he is like a fresh start for the Rowan line.
I
It
think
is what it
green
is.
is also sometimes associated with like cunning. And like, even though like Hoth and his father were bad people, like they were very like cunning individuals.
Yeah, they were.
And so I think that kind of is so like that's something that could be associated with all of the Rowans.
Oh, you know what, as well? Like, it could symbolize like greed
Or
as well,
envy,
and
yeah.
envy, and yeah, so that could work for like
Sure.
the worst Rowans.
Yeah.
And then the Spirit of the Wood actually had silver eyes, which I just thought that was an interesting contrast to the nightmare as well, because he's got like those like yellow golden eyes. And the Spirit of the Wood has silver. I think ultimately, like, silver, it makes sense for her. She's got like the mist, which is silvery and gray. Like, it kind of reminds me of like spirits. Like, that's a color that's associated with
Very
like
mysterious. It's
the
very like,
mystical. Yeah. So
yeah,
it's just kind of
absolutely.
like mystical and magical.
Okay, so I only have one discussion question.
Okay.
Do you think the nightmare deserves to find peace in the afterlife?
I'm so glad you asked. Personally, I do. And I think the nightmare, like we said, like in life, he made some very poor decisions. I do think they were originally the intention was good. And he was just a boy, you know, like when he became king, like he was young. He wanted to have like this new world for his people. Obviously, when he started losing pieces of himself, it was a slippery slope. And he did some fucked up things that I cannot really defend. However, I think, like we said, Elspeth was his penance and 500 years stuck in a card to think about what he did. But Elspeth was his penance. He paid his penance. He righted those wrongs. He restored balance. And ultimately, I think he does deserve to find peace in the afterlife. And I think his family deserves him to find peace because they want it. Like, his children want him with them. His sister wants him, his wife. Like,
It's
they
like
all want him.
despite his mistakes, like they do still love him.
Yes, very much so. And that's very, like, touching. Like, the whole thing was just very emotional.
The whole thing was about forgiveness and like righting, like you said, righting wrongs.
Yes. And I think that kind of leads to a follow-up question of, do you forgive Brutus Rowan for what he did?
So I don't forgive him for what he did because at no point is a child ever going to be guilty of their parents' sins. And so for that, no, I don't forgive him because he took it too far, because those are still his nieces and nephews. That was his family. But I do understand him.
Yes,
Like I do
same.
understand why he did it, and like grief hits everybody differently, and I'm sure that did drive him to that point. But I don't think he, I don't know, it's hard to say because he did not pay the same price that the nightmare did. Like the nightmare was given the chance to like prove his worth, and I guess Brutus was not. And like he was able to live his full life and he passed that hatred down through his whole line. And so instead of choosing to like learn from that, he chose like hatred instead.
Yeah, that is such a like a good comparison between the two because yes, I totally understand what happened to Brutus. Like it made him lose his mind, but it's like he took it too far. Taxus never would have actively harmed anyone. When his sister died, that was not him actively choosing that. It
He
was him
knew there
being
was.
reckless and careless, but he did not like go there with the intention of like harming anyone that he
No.
cared about, whereas Brutus did.
He knew a price needed to be paid. I just don't think he realized it was at the cost of like his own sister.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And I just think, yeah, you're right. That's kind of the difference between them is, and I think it's unfortunate because I feel awful for Brutus and for what happened to him, but he did. He just took it too far. That was pretty unforgivable that he killed those children.
So yeah, there's a difference between the two, but I don't know, I could be wrong.
No, I think that, well, obviously the question's opinion based, so it's, you can't really say if you're wrong. But yeah, that wraps up our discussion of the Shepherd King duology. It was amazing, riveting, fantastical. I
So
loved it.
refreshing.
Very refreshing. We're gonna be switching things up next week. Join us for a Valentine's Day novella called 1-800-Cupid by C.L. Cruz. It's a short little, probably steamy, romance novella.
Very exciting. And then the week after, join us for an installment of Best Friends Book Clubs Explains the History of Cupid. I'm gonna teach you fools a little something
Our
about
us lovesick fools.
a little Mr. Cupid, stupid Cupid, if you will.
I've heard of them.
I'm sure you have. Yeah, we're gonna do a deep dive into his history.
I'm so excited. I feel like this is something I've never even thought to look into before. So you're going to teach me a lot.
Yes.
Go ahead, get started on 1-800-Cupid if you haven't already. We'll talk to you next time, and as always,
Let's get lit.